I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity, so we saved you some time to get right to the good stuff. Enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Keith Stern is the co-owner of Stern's Quality Produce in White River Junction. This spring, when Governor Phil Scott did a 180 on his position on gun control and advocated for stricter firearms measures, not everyone was happy, Keith Stern among them. Stern has never held elected office outside of his town, but he was motivated to run for the state's highest office this time. The economy and the state's financial picture are what he says underlies his bid for governor. He says the state has excessive taxation, education that is too costly, and bloated and inefficient government. For the past 2 months, Vermont Edition has been interviewing candidates running in contested statewide and federal primary races. Today, we are joined by Republican candidate for governor, Keith Stern. Welcome to Vermont Edition.
And thank you for having me.
Why did the governor's position on firearm restrictions anger you and motivate you to run?
That wasn't even on my agenda when I first announced. That didn't come up till much later. If you look at my palm card, it doesn't even mention anything about guns, gun restrictions, or anything like that, because it wasn't an issue in Vermont at the time.
But now?
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge thing. The governor lied to us.
In what sense?
Well, he said, I won't sign any gun legislation. He said it multiple times, and then he did a 180. And did it. And what he did didn't solve any problem. We have a problem with mental health in this state, across the country. And that was never addressed. Schools aren't any safer now. That was supposedly one of the reasons for doing this gun legislation. The legislation they passed, some of it's unconstitutional.
Which parts?
Well, it just came down in the last few days. California Supreme Court said that it's unconstitutional to reduce the size of the magazines. And Ohio said that they can't stop the sale of bump stocks. So that's two things right there. Another big issue is not letting people under 21 buy a gun. That is infringement of their rights.
There are exceptions to that.
Oh, there's exceptions, but I mean, you still have to go take a gun safety course. But what happened? You live in a rural area and there isn't one offered. What happened? Your father or uncle or whoever has trained you how to handle a gun properly, so you have to still go take a safety course? That's infringement of their rights.
So what would you do as governor to change the gun rules that we currently have on the books?
Well, I won't enforce them. I won't enforce an unconstitutional law.
Would you try to get the legislature to change things? Because without a major shift in the party dynamics, you know, the laws would require legislative action to change.
Right.
So how would you do that?
Well, I'm working with candidates to help get them elected, ones that will follow the Constitution. What should happen immediately is the legislature should get into session and overturn that legislation. Now they know that it's unconstitutional, the two parts that have been ruled that way.
By various states?
Yes.
But not in Vermont?
The Constitution goes across the country. It's not limited to Vermont or any other state.
So you believe that states cannot impose extra restrictions beyond what the federal constitution says, and you believe it's unconstitutional federally for any kind of enforcement or restrictions on firearms?
Yeah, it's very clear. It says people's rights will not be infringed, and it can't be any clearer than that.
Are you a gun owner?
No, I'm not.
So why is this an issue that that you feel impassioned about?
Because I have the same right as any gun owner. my rights have been infringed too, whether I choose to use that right or not. It's still my right.
So you say you're not a gun owner, but my understanding is you actually purchased an AR-15 as part of your campaign that you're raffling off $20 tickets for.
Oh, we did already, yes.
And was that purchased in your name?
Yes, it was.
So you have gone through a federal background check and you're a gun owner.
I paid for it, but the winner had to get the background check. I never took possession of the gun.
Oh, I see. So you basically hold payment for it and whoever got it. And has that been raffled already?
It was raffled. It was a choice of that or the cash, the amount of the gun. And the person that won it decided he wanted the cash because he already had one. So somebody bought it.
You're also selling bumper stickers to help fund your campaign. And the bumper stickers say ammosexual. What does that mean?
It's just a play on words. What it really means is I'm not even sure, to be honest. My campaign manager found it someplace and she said, that'd be good. And some of the gun owners said, oh, I like that. I'll buy one.
How many have you sold?
I have no idea. It goes through my campaign manager.
Let's talk about taxes. And first, I'm going to ask you about your taxes, and then we'll talk about tax policy in the state. I understand you've refused to release your tax returns because you filed jointly with your wife and you say she's not a candidate. Is that accurate?
Yep.
It's actually falling afoul of Vermont's political ethics laws, though, that require candidates for statewide office to file their tax returns. So why not do it?
I have the rights of any other citizen. How many citizens have to turn in, show their tax returns?
Candidates who want to run.
Because the legislature said that. But when it comes to infringing on people's gun rights or whatever, they have no problem with doing that. That violates their oath of office. That's fine, but somebody doesn't return the tax releases. You know, I'm a small business owner. If I lose this, I'm going to be continuing to run my business. And I don't want somebody to know how much I'm making and somebody say, you know what? They're making pretty decent money or they're not making that much or whatever. You know, I can do business and take away a lot of their business, you know? I can make decent money here or... It's my right not to show my tax releases.
Let's go to the calls. Frederico is calling in from Greensboro. Hi, Frederico. Go right ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to comment for Keith Stern. He seems to be making like his election campaign like a pretty much like a one issue campaign as far as like. Gun rights and like repealing S-55. Well, I just want to let Keith Stern know that there's many people on the other side of the line that, just like myself, that are determined to make this a one-issue campaign in the sense that we are going to make sure nobody gets elected that supports that doesn't support gun control legislation, and that includes like campaign against like him and John Rogers, like. Which is like on the other side of the aisle, but he's very much of like a pro-gun activist.
So, Frederico, let me pick up what you're saying here, and Keith Stern ask you again on this issue of guns, because polls have shown over the years that the majority of Vermonters would support some gun restrictions. So are you fighting a tide here by running as somebody who says I would advocate for removing or repealing or at least not enforcing gun restrictions?
I don't know if I'm fighting the tide or what, but the constitutions are the constitutions. If you do away with the constitutions, what do we have? You can't pick and choose what parts of the constitutions we want. There's a process for changing it, and that's a way to do it. You can't just say, this doesn't agree with me, it's gone. You can't do that. What do we have left for society? What's next? Freedom of religion, freedom of speech. If you don't have the Constitution, if you don't stand for the Constitution, you stand for nothing.
Let's go back to tax policy. Do you think the state might need to raise taxes to provide additional services to its
no,
residents?
No, we don't need to raise taxes at all. We just have to work smarter. We got so much waste in the government. That's got to be eliminated. One of the things, Vermont has 66 more state employees than New Hampshire that make over $90,000 a year, even though we have about half the population. It's got to be justified. Another thing is a retired state employee came up to me and told me that some of the agencies have more management than they have actual workers. He said, you go into some of the offices, the phone's ringing, the management are sitting there, not answering the phone. No, there's nobody there to answer a phone. That's got to be taken care of. Why do we need deputy commissioners and assistant secretaries? That's a lot of money a year spent just on that. These people, do they really have that much of a purpose? We can spend over $100,000 a piece plus benefits?
How much would it get you to streamline the employee side of state government? You know, that probably won't eliminate all that much on people's taxes. So where else do you see streamlining government or streamlining what we do and what we get out of our taxes to cut taxes for people?
It's here and there. You got to do it. One of the things, they just had a state auction. They're getting rid of trucks that only had just over 100,000 miles on it. These trucks are built for 500 to a million miles. And they're getting rid of them for pennies on the dollar. They had pallets and pallets of tires, just like brand new, they were selling off. What was the point of buying these tires and then selling them off? It's things like that we can do away with. Another thing is the Agency of Education. $10 million budget, and what does it really accomplish? My idea is to gut it down so it's just an intermediary between the federal Department of Education and the local schools. Act 46 got to be removed.
This is the school board consolidation and,
yes.
And working on.
Yes.
So would you return to complete local control, including local financing for schools, rather than have a statewide pool of money that gets distributed evenly to communities?
We'd have to look at that part of it. It should be complete local control because they'll budget their money more wisely.
How would you ensure equal access to education for students who live in poorer communities as students in wealthier communities do if it was completely organized and financed by the town? So obviously this was the subject of a Vermont Supreme Court decision that has led us to where we are now.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. It have to be looked at. I'm not saying it must be done. We got to find a way to do it fairly.
When you say if towns were budgeting completely for their own, they would be more efficient. And you also talk about the staff to student ratio changing. How would you ensure, I mean, if towns get to do what they want, how would you ensure that they change anything?
How would I ensure? Well, it's up to the voters to do that. I mean, if they see their communities paying whatever, 2,000 more per student than the next town over, then they're going to say, we need a change, and they're going to vote out those school board members and get other ones in.
So in other words, it's a sort of philosophical approach in the sense that if communities want to spend more, they should be able to spend more or spend less, but it's not the state government's job to dictate how they finance their education?
Again, I'm saying that it's got to be looked at that point. But the consolidation part is a terrible idea. I've heard from people that say their kids are on buses for 2 hours each direction. Does that make sense? And what do you do with these schools that are part of the community when they're closed?
Emily is calling in from Springfield. Hi, Emily. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you, Jane. Hi, Keith. I'm in total agreement with you about the bloated bureaucracy, but my point is different. There are many amongst us women who will look at the Constitution and look at it as only half a Constitution because there was no participation by women in the Constitution. So my question is can you look at a woman's perspective at our country today that has gone quite awry, and there is no concepts that women would contribute into our foundational set of laws? What would you say to that, Keith?
Well, that's a tough one. I'd have to say that the thing is to organize to try to change the constitutions. That's the process we have in this country. Whether I agree with it or not doesn't matter. What matters is you have that feeling and you should pursue it and see if you can get enough people behind you to agree to that. But we do have a process for changing the Constitution, and it has to be followed.
You told WAMC that you're a conservative constitutionalist Republican, but you told Stowe today that you're a libertarian.
No, I never said that. I don't know where she got that from.
So that's a misrepresentation of your position.
Yeah, I said I've got some libertarian viewpoints and values, but no, I never did say that. I don't know where she got that from.
So how do you characterize your sort of political philosophy and position as you told WAMC, a conservative constitutionalist Republican?
Yeah. The Republican part, it's more constitutional conservative. You have to be in a political party to really run a serious campaign and be noticed. I'm very much independent in my views, but the closest platform is the Republican platform.
If you don't gain the Republican nomination, would you run as an independent?
No.
So this is it. The primary is it for you in this race?
Yes. We discussed it, but I don't believe taking two shots at it.
Bob posted, what is your position on tax and regulate for cannabis?
Well, I've made it pretty clear. If it gets to that point, I think the people should have the say. Every other state that has it, the voters made the choice. Educate people on both sides of the issue. Let the voters decide in some way. I know we don't really have a mechanism for doing it. Maybe it's just a poll, you know, online poll or something. Let them have the say, but let them be educated about it, and then we go from there.
And that's how you feel about legalizing marijuana in general, right? You don't really like the approach the legislature took. You don't like the way the law was written.
No. It was a terrible law to begin with because you can grow it, you can smoke it in your house, but you can't buy it. So you're a criminal for buying it, you're a criminal for selling it. And now it turns out that they can sell it – you could say legally by not selling it, selling somebody a pack of gum for $40 and then give them some pot to go with it. I mean, it's a terrible law.
So if the legislature were to create a tax and regulate system, would you support that? I mean, we don't have a referendum process. So if there was a mechanism where you could gauge the interest of the voters in that and they supported it, would you?
Let the voters decide. That's the only fair way to do it because they have to live with what the consequences of it, you know. Either way, it works. It's the only fair way.
Would you do the same on guns? If there was a poll?
Guns are constitutional right. It's a completely different thing. There's nothing in the law that says you can smoke pot.
Let's go to Tim, who's calling in from Barnard. Hi, Tim. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking the call. Keith, I have a totally different topic in regards to the forest industry. I'm a biomass producer right now, and there's a major issue going in the national power grid right now with the influx of hydropower and natural gas. And my question to you specifically is, what would you do if your governor to help protect, and I'll spitball a bill potentially and see what you think about that and then get your comment. And the bill would be specifically, I would call it a Northeast Forest Products Bill. that would protect our power grid and jobs, which produce, by the way, hundreds of millions of dollars in our state. And I would say to the bill that it be a Maine, New Hampshire, New York, and Vermont bill, that we could say only unless the power grid needs natural gas or hydropower, we would buy it in, but we would not kill jobs just to create another in some other state. I'm interested to hear from that, and I hope Governor Scott's administration is hearing, because a major voting block in the forest industry right now that he could lose depending on what goes on here.
All right, Tim, let's put your question to Keith Stern. Keith?
Well, I support any business in Vermont. We have to make sure that it stays viable. And whatever we have to do it, we'll do it. One thing I've talked about, and it's a little confusing to some people, but Sweden for 10 years now is using wood chips instead of salt on the roads. They're treated, and they said it's great because it doesn't rot vehicles out. It doesn't rot the concrete and the steel on bridges. Canada has just started doing that. It would make a great product for the forestry industry in Vermont. We grow it here, and it'll spread to other states, and maybe we can sell it to other states too. I think we have potential to have a very good industry set up within the industry.
And you would eliminate salting the roads.
I sure hope so, because I hate to see all these cars rotting out prematurely. It's just another way to raise the cost of living to Vermonters.
You say that you would actually repeal and replace the Vermont renewable mandate. And current mandates require Vermont utilities to get 55% of their energy from renewable sources, with 75% by 2032. So what would your energy portfolio look like?
I want to see more hydro. They're putting
hydro
it,
is a renewable
right,
source.
Right.
So why would you have to repeal the mandate?
I don't recall even saying that. Where did you find that?
On your website.
It does say that.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't sound like you say it must be repealed and replaced with something that makes sense for our wildlife and our way of life.
Well, one thing is I don't want to see 20,000 acres of solar panels. That's probably what it's referring to. I didn't write that specifically, but yes.
So you would change the balance. You would not advocate for solar. You would advocate for more hydro and have things that your approach would be to look at the landscape, especially as it relates to energy and how we're setting that up.
Sure. Yeah. They're putting in a line from Quebec under Lake Champlain, all underground, and I think most electricity is supposed to go to Massachusetts. Why not put in two lines at the same time and supply Vermont? It's each line supposed to have potential for 1,000 to 12,000 megawatts of electricity. That's huge. That's more than Vermont Yankee put out.
When you say that you want to support our wildlife, do you believe that climate change is a threat to our landscape and to our wildlife and to our agriculture?
It probably is. But what do you do about it? The climate changes. This was a glacier here at one point. So, I mean, climate change is a natural occurring thing.
When it comes to water quality funding, this has been a vexing issue for the legislature and the governor. Is there a long-term revenue source that you think is needed or that you could identify for dealing with water quality issues and dealing with cleanup that has been mandated by the federal government?
I would have to look to see what kind of funding source is the most effective. But one thing I have to say is working on cleanup before you solve the problem is just a waste of money. It's like taking a boat out that's got a hole in it and bailing the water. You're never going to get ahead, and you're going to use up your energy doing that. We got to fix the problem. Then cleanup will go quickly and less expensively.
Mark has a question for you and writes, if Vermont passes paid family leave and a $15 minimum wage, what changes would you make to your business in White River Junction to respond to these requirements?
That would probably be the end of my business, actually, because my business couldn't survive doing that. I can't have an employee gone for that length of time, and I'm going to hire somebody else to take the place, and what happens to that person when the other person comes back to work? $15 minimum wage, I just can't compete with New Hampshire. It just doesn't work. And that's why I'm opposed to it. I want to see wages go up, but I believe we can get there organically by making Vermont a more competitive place to operate. But to put Vermont businesses in competition with New Hampshire, which are already at a disadvantage, make the disadvantage even larger, does not make any sense at all.
So you would use your experience as a business owner in your role as governor to advocate for the positions that you've experienced, how that would work from a business perspective?
Absolutely, yes.
How would you approach healthcare, which has also been a huge issue for businesses as it is for individuals, as it is for lawmakers?
Right. Boy, that'll eat up the rest of the time. People can go on my website. It's laid out in detail, my plan for that. If you want to finish off the hour.
Yeah, give us the bullet points.
Okay. I want to see the healthcare providers organize to do a single entity, not for profit, that does the billing and collecting. And I want to see them use that also to do the purchasing. So they have a greater purchasing power, and I would like to see it someday come into doing the paying, replacing health insurance companies. So it's not for profit. It'd be a lot less expensive. And
so direct just, billing of patients and take out the insurance.
Yes.
So what happens if I have a heart attack and I need to go to the hospital? And I don't have insurance because we've eliminated it. How would you make sure that people...
It hasn't eliminated it. It's just this nonprofit company that's handling it instead of having a for-profit company. It's the same thing except for you take out the profits, the huge profits the insurance companies are making.
Oh, but I thought you were saying that it would be the healthcare providers who would organize.
They would have this, yeah.
And they would also then run an insurance company?
Well, it's not an insurance company. It's just the process of collecting money from the individuals, and it has the fund, and you draw from it. I'm looking at it's a faith-based medical share. It's not an insurance company at all. What I want to do is bring them into – handle the state employees and the teachers' insurance because the cost is so much lower. We could pay 100% of the policies. They get 100% coverage, and we'd still save the taxpayer tens of millions of dollars because you're taking out the profit part of the insurance.
One more question for you from Teo in Barnard, who is responding to a VT Digger article by Deb Markowitz. There was an article on VT Digger by Deb Markowitz. You responded to that in a video on your Facebook page, and Teo wants to respond to that, saying, in a video on Facebook, you assert the intention behind Black Lives Matter is to promote the idea that only Black Lives Matter. Are you familiar with the long and continuing history of injustice experienced disproportionately by persons of color in this country? Can you appreciate any of their unique and unaddressed grievances, and what would you do as governor to address this issue in Vermont?
Well, I understand the problem, and I I have sympathy for it, but we got to get beyond the victimization of people, of individuals. Black people come from Haiti. They come from different parts of the world, and they weren't victims, but do they have the same thing as the ones that are ancestors of slaves? No. And we have to address everybody's problems in this country. We can't leave it to saying just this one segment of the population matter. We got to focus on America. It's a melting pot. It's not specific to one set of people.
Keith Stern is running to be the Republican gubernatorial nominee in the August primary. He's the co-owner of Stern's Quality Produce in White River Junction. Thanks for talking with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
This has been part of our series of ongoing interviews with candidates. Tomorrow, we will be talking with Stern's opponent in the primary, incumbent Governor Phil Scott. If you have a question for Governor Phil Scott, send it to Vermont Edition at vpr.net.